God bless all of you. Good afternoon to you west of us, and good morning to you way east of us. And good evening to all of you here and around California. We are going to open tonight in the sixth chapter of the book of Matthew. If you would turn there, please, Matthew chapter 6. A number of years ago, almost 20 years ago, at one of our family camps, we centered the camp around the topic of pray without ceasing, which was a very exciting, dynamic camp. And prayer is such a huge topic in the Bible, such a huge part of our relationship to God, that it would take a whole week, like that camp was, or even more, to really begin to approximate topic. But tonight I'd like to share on an aspect of prayer. One of the things that you discover when you start working the Word of God is that the basic word for prayer means to talk to or to communicate with. You know, God in the manifestations tonight encouraged us to walk and talk with Him. God loves the prayer of His people. And in one sense, prayer is our ongoing, it's our continual conversation with God Almighty. I've made the statement before, and I think it's very wonderful to consider, that as breathing is to our physical life, prayer is to our spiritual life. It's that important, it's that ongoing of reality. In our ministry, in our lives as believers, we are, or at least we should be, very concerned about the accuracy and integrity of God's Word. The more that we align our believing and practice with the rightly divided Word, the better off we'll be. The more fruit we'll see, the more our lives will be pleasing to God. And so when it comes to the topic of prayer, we should pray as the Bible instructs us to pray. And as I mentioned before, it's a large topic, but we're going to handle an aspect of it tonight. And that's in the category of asking and thanking. From young children, we've been taught the difference between the two. Your mother, your father, your adults that influenced you taught you if you needed something to ask. And then once you had received it, you were also taught to then say thanks. But the two are not the same. Asking is before you receive something, and thanking is in response to having received it. So, you know, asking is characterized by the word please, or, you know, can you? And, you know, God encourages us to come to Him and ask for the things that we need. And, you know, a bottom line thing, and we'll see it here in Matthew 6, when it comes to approaching God, we should always do it with reverence and respect. You know, awe, humility. But remember, we're dealing with God Almighty. You know, now we are so close to Him that we get to call Him our Father because He is. But we need to maintain a reverence and an awe in our hearts for our Heavenly Father. Matthew chapter 6 is a dynamic teaching on prayer. In verse 1, this is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Verse 1, it says, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven." Now the word alms means deeds of mercy, would be one translation, or charity, oftentimes most likely to the poor. Remember on Acts chapter 3, the man that was lame from his mother's womb, he was laid daily at the temple gate, and he asked for alms. He was asking for acts of compassion, for generous giving, for pity to and compassion to be shown on his life. So if you are doing charitable acts, God says, you don't do it to be seen of men. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when you do assign alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do, in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. And that reward is very short-lived. It's, you know, maybe somebody said, oh, look at how charitable he is or how giving this man is. But that's his reward. He's not going to be rewarded of the Father, because the Father doesn't like hypocrisy. Verse 3, but when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret himself, shall reward thee openly. So in light of charitable giving, this is good instruction. Now, verse 5 picks up the topic of prayer. It says, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. Again, what is being reproved here is hypocrisy. The word hypocrite means two-faced, like the Greek actors that had played two parts. The same actor would play two parts, a good guy and a bad guy. Well, don't be two-faced. Don't be hypocritical. Do not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. So similar to one who gives alms, looking for the praise and admiration of men, here sometimes people pray, not so much praying to God, but praying for the admiration, for the praise of men. And God again says, don't be like that. Verse 6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Now, I don't know if you've ever tried this. When I first became a Christian, I read this verse. Carol and I were going to a fellowship that wasn't real accurate on the Bible. But I read that verse, and you know what? I tried going into my closet, and I sat amongst the shoes and the different things that were in the closet, and, you know, figured, okay, well, I'm fulfilling what the Bible says. Well, you know, really, the word closet here represents the secret part of your life, the hidden, where you store your treasures. It's not necessarily referring to a physical place, but what's in your heart? What do you treasure in your heart? You know, you shut the door, you pray to your Heavenly Father, and really, when bottom line of prayer, it's between you and God. You know, it's the conversation that you have with God. In verse 7, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. You know, there's a lot of different religions that teach prayer in a whole variety of ways, and oftentimes it involves saying the same prayer over and over and over again with the thought that the more you pray that prayer, the more God is going to hear you. Well, God says, don't be like the heathen. When you pray, don't use vain repetition, saying the same thing over and over again, sort of mindlessly. Verse 8, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before ye, what? Ask him. Now, does God know what you need before you pray? Yes, he does. That's what that verse says. But does this verse say that because he knows what you need that you don't need to ask? No, of course not. You know, it's encouraging us to pray. It's when you pray. And a big part of praying is asking. You know, Father, I need this. Father, I'm asking your help. You know, it's not vain repetitions like the heathen do. It's not saying the same thing over and over again. And now it's interesting because Jesus Christ in verse 9, this is probably as famous a section of scripture as there is in Christianity. But verse 9 is what's been commonly referred to as the Lord's Prayer. I first became exposed to the Lord's Prayer when my parents would take me to church as a young child. And the whole congregation would say the prayer over and over again, the same prayer over and over again. Now, we just read, when you pray, don't use vain repetition. I don't know if I ever really practiced any time in my life, Our Father, which art in heaven, and just saying it mindlessly. But there was a practice that I was taught, and there was a practice that crept into my life that really sort of dominated my prayer life, and it's characterized by one word, the word thanks. And I was taught to pray that every time you pray, you thank God for this. You thank God for that. For what you need, you thank God. Just logically, if it's something that you need that you don't yet have, shouldn't you ask for it? Ask reverently, ask politely, ask, you know, directly. Then once you receive it, what do you say? You say, thanks. So I wasn't using the Lord's Prayer as a vain repetition, which isn't it interesting that it has been that for many, many Christians throughout the centuries. But instead of that, my vain repetition was characterized by, thank you, God, for this. Thank you, God, for that. Thank you, God, for this. And once I saw that, after working the Word of God and understanding what the Bible is teaching, it took a little time, it took a little thought and effort to correct. But thank God for that, because it made my prayer life so much richer, not getting into a mindless habit. So what can we learn from the Lord's Prayer? Well, first of all, it says, after this manner, therefore pray ye. You know what that implies is that this is an example of prayer. It's not something that's to be mindlessly repeated over and over and over again, like the heathen do, but this is an example of prayer. And so when you work it, you can learn much about what this prayer is teaching us to do. And it starts by saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So, you know, being mindful of who you're talking to. Our Father, which is in heaven, that it's God Almighty, your heavenly Father. And then it says, hallowed be thy name. The word hallowed means highly venerated, highly respected, greatly honored. And really, when that's said from your heart, when that's the approach to God, is with honoring him, revering him, venerating him, having great respect for who he is, well, that's the basis of prayer. And that's certainly what God deserves and desires. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as on earth as it is in heaven. You know, the prayer that the will of God be brought to pass, that all the good things of his kingdom will come to pass. We know that his kingdom will come. And it comes to us, or it's come to us when we got born again. We entered into the kingdom of God by the gift of Holy Spirit. But we want to see others enter the kingdom, don't we? You know, we're on our way to heaven. We want to take as many people with us as possible. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, the great desire that the will of God, which is the word of God, be done. Give us this day our daily bread. You know, this is a prayer for our physical necessities. And those are things that we should pray for. You know, this doesn't change with Pentecost. I've heard people teach, that, you know, God will supply everything so you don't even have to ask for it. No, this is asking for him to supply daily everything that you need. Now, it's a lot bigger than just, you know, of course, a loaf of bread. Bread here represents all of our physical necessities. You know, it could be financial necessities, could be automotive necessities. you know, many different things that God promises to supply, but we should ask him for it. That's what this prayer is. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, verse 12 is something that has changed from since Pentecost, because it says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. This has changed. We are not to forgive others based on them, as we forgive our debtors. You know, God doesn't forgive us based on who we forgive. God forgives us based on what? What Christ has done. Remember, God's word says, well, let's take a look here. Keep your finger here. Ephesians chapter 4 real quickly. Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 32, it says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, right? God's instruction, forgiving one another, even as you forgive others. No, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. So this is something that's changed from the Lord's Prayer. But we can certainly include in our prayer life that we would forgive others in light of God, for Christ's sake, having forgiven us. Verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and thy power and glory forever. Amen. Another wonderful thing to pray for is to pray for protection from evil, from deliverance from evil. And the Lord knows that we are in a very present evil world, a very wicked age. So we should make it a part of our prayer life to ask for his divine protection. Now, let's go in our Bibles. After seeing that, let's go to James chapter 1. So there are many things that God instructs us to ask for. And then there are many other things that God's word instructs us to be thankful for. Well, what's the difference between the two? We are to ask for the things that we don't yet have. Here's a good example in James chapter 1, in verse 5. It says, if any of you lack wisdom. Now, wisdom is basically knowledge applied, or it's knowing what to do in any given situation. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been in a situation where you don't know what to do? like a lot. You know, God's word is tremendous wisdom, but we don't always understand it. We don't always apply it. You know, it's each situation can be different. If any of you lack wisdom, if you don't know what to do, let him ask of God that give to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. What a promise of God. Now, once it's given unto you, then what you can return unto God is, thanks, Father. Thanks for that wisdom. Verse 6, it says, but let him ask in believing, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of God. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So approaching God with confidence, approaching God with the confidence that he will hear us, that he'll hear our requests, and then he will answer us. You know, it's really something. Prayer involves asking. Much prayer involves asking. And then answered prayer involves receiving. And that's what we just saw. And once you receive from God, then our logical, natural response to our loving Heavenly Father is to thank him. Look at 1 John, while we're at this end of the Bible, 1 John chapter 3. First John. It says in verse 21, "Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God." We can approach God confidently. "And whatsoever we ask," once again, the Bible's instructing us to ask, "whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." So when we ask according to his commandments. This is further reiterated in 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 in verse 14. "And this is the confidence that we have in him." So we should approach God confidently, not double-minded, but approach God confidently. We're his children, we're his sons. He delights in hearing from us. "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything," and then here it is, "according to his will, he hears us." Well, we've already seen a few things that we know are according to his will. How about supplying our physical necessities, our daily bread? How about protection from evil? That's God's will. So we can ask, and we can ask confidently because we're asking according to his will. How about for wisdom, knowing what to do? Well, you can approach God boldly and confidently and ask according to his will and know that he hears us. Verse 15, "And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him." Now, does this verse say that as soon as you ask or approach God once, that automatically he's going to give it to you? Is that what that confidence is? Is that what we know, that we have the petitions of him, that I just got to go and make a request and then it's automatically answered right away? No, that's not what this is teaching. In fact, you got to put the scripture together. Look at Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. You know, Jesus Christ taught his disciples, his followers, on many occasions about prayer. Because it's such a vital part of our relationship to God, of what we're to do day by day. Here's an example of it. It says in verse 1 of Luke 11, "It came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." John also was teaching his disciples to pray. Well, Jesus Christ, here they asked him, "Teach us to pray." That's a very good request to make of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verse 2 it says, "And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Again, what's known as the Lord's Prayer, but an example of prayer, not to be a vain repetition said over and over and over again. In verse 5, "And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, send me 3 loaves. You know, I have friends, I have neighbors, but you go to them at midnight asking for 3 loaves of bread. You know, if you got a phone call from a friend of yours or a neighbor, and they said, can I have 3 loaves of bread? And it's midnight. You may say, what? But look what the man making the request said. "For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I can't rise and give thee." You know, you probably say something similar, maybe a little more blunt. In verse 8, "I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. The word importunity, I had read before as opportunity. It's importunity, and it's a word that not many people use these days. But the word importunity means shamelessness, complete lack of modesty. This guy had a need. He needed to set bread before a visitor that came into his house. At that midnight, he was immodest in his request, to say the least. He was shameless. And he said, "Can I have loaves of bread?" And you might say, "Look, I'm not doing this because you're my friend. In fact, since you're my friend, I'd say buzz off." But no, it's because the shameless asking, the immodesty of this man would cause him, here's the bread. Get out of here. I got to go back to sleep. So again, he says, verse 8, "I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he's his friend, yet because of his importunity, his lack of modesty, his shameless asking, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you," now here's the lesson, "I say unto you, ask, and it shall be what? Given you. Seek, and ye shall what? Find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." Again, a very, very familiar verse of scripture, but look at the context. Jesus Christ being asked by his disciples to teach him how to pray. And he gives this story, and it's like, hey, ask, seek, knock. But there's a deeper truth here in verse 9. Each of these three verbs is in the continual tense. And it really, and many Bibles have it this way, canon is accurately translated, "And I say unto you, keep on asking." In other words, persist in asking. "And it shall be given you. Keep on seeking, and ye shall find. Keep on knocking, and it shall be opened unto you." There was a great man in the 19th century in Great Britain that many of you have heard of, named George Mueller. And George Mueller, as much as anyone that I know of, has proven the great power of prayer, that God is the God of answered prayer. And he kept a detailed diary recorded over 50,000 prayers that he had answered in his life. He was a major force socially in England to help with the orphan problem they were facing in that time in England. But by the way, that family camp that I referred to at the beginning of this teaching, those teachings are on my website under Family Camp from 2003, and there was a marvelous sharing done in that camp by Brother John Tatnall about the life of George Mueller. And if you haven't heard that, I would really recommend it. It's a fantastic sharing. But famous quote that George Mueller made is, "I live in the spirit of prayer. I pray as I walk about, when I lie down and when I rise up. And the answers are always coming. Thousands and tens of thousands of times have my prayers been answered. When once I am persuaded that a thing is right." Now remember, we're praying according to the will of God, according to God's word, and that's right. "So once I am persuaded that a thing is right and for the glory of God, I go on praying for it until the answer comes." George Mueller never gives up. In another place in his diary, he wrote, "I've had many thousands of prayers answered instantaneously almost at the time I prayed. And then there's been other prayers that I prayed for years and years and years. And it took that time before God answered. He said, what's the difference? He said, I don't know. But I do know that God wants us to persist in prayer. In fact, what was actually recorded in this in his diary was there were people that he was praying for their salvation that weren't saved at the time of his death, but later were saved after he was deceased. So at verse 9 again, it's, I say unto you, keep on asking. You know, once you're persuaded that it's the will of God, keep on asking and it shall be given you. Keep on seeking and ye shall find. Keep on knocking and it shall be opened unto you. And then it says, for everyone that asketh receiveth. Or keep on asking, receives. And he that keeps on seeking finds. And he that keeps on knocking, it shall be open. And then it goes on to say, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will you give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer a scorpion? Now, to our minds, these questions almost seem imbecilic. They almost seem, you know, childish. Of course a father wouldn't do that. But there's a deeper truth here. Because in the East, the first thing said here, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will you give him a stone? But back in the lands and times of the Bible, the bread that they ate wasn't like our loaves of bread, you know, leavened bread, but they ate more like what would be considered tortillas or chapatis. And they were round, flat things, and they would make many of them at a time over a fire. And then they would use stones. They would roll them out on stones, and they would use the stones to keep them warm, and they'd put a stone on top to weight them down, keep them warm. And over time, that stone, that flat stone that was used, would start to look like the bread. It would start to absorb some of the oil or butter that they used in making the bread. And it could be that a young child could mistake that stone for the bread because it would resemble it. In other words, it's a close counterfeit. And the same is true of these other two examples. Or if he shall ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Last week, we saw the parable of the fisherman separating out the bad from the good fish. And some of the bad would be serpents, would be sea serpents, and they would resemble fish. In other words, it's a close counterfeit. And the same is true of if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Now, there were different types of scorpion in the lands and times of the Bible. There was a black scorpion that was very deadly and people would avoid, much more rare. But there was also a white scorpion that looked like its white body looked like an egg. And even so much so that when you would dig into it, there would be a yellow inside. And it could be mistaken for an egg, certainly by a child. But of course, a good father would not do any of these things. And really what's implied here is that a father would protect his child from these counterfeit things, protect them from the bad things that could harm them. It says in verse 13, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that, what? Ask him. It doesn't say to them that thank him, but to them that, what? Ask him. Well, why should they ask him for the Holy Spirit? Because it hadn't yet come. They didn't have it yet. But they should continue to ask. If there's people that are unsaved, they can reverently, they can go to God and ask for it. God wants and desires to give good gifts unto people. But if people don't have it yet, they should ask him for it. And think about this. Again, it says, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Now, compare this with 2 Corinthians chapter 9. go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. At the time of that teaching of Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 11, the Holy Spirit hadn't yet come. So he instructed them to ask for it. But look at what it says here. Now this is addressed to the church. It says in verse 15 of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, thanks be unto God for his what? Unspeakable gift. We don't need to ask God for the gift of Holy Spirit. He's given it to us, but we should be thankful for it. See, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. As I mentioned at the beginning of this teaching, the more that we align our prayer life with what the Word of God teaches, the more effectual it will be. And we've seen tonight some things that that we can all employ, that we can all be mindful of. You know, just having great reverence and respect for God. The things that we need, we can go to Him confidently and ask Him for. And then as He blesses us with them, we are thankful in our hearts for His abundant supply. You know, there's also many great examples throughout the Bible of prayer. I wrote some down. We won't take the time. If any of you are taking notes here, Acts chapter 4 is a fantastic prayer of when the church was undergoing persecution and early church. And John chapter 4, verses 23 through 31, they prayed for more boldness to speak the word. And I also noted three Psalms of David. And all three of the Psalms of David are prayers. Remember, David was a man after God's own heart, the only one in the Bible described that way. And David, being a man after God's own heart, was a man of prayer, because that's what God would have us to do. He delights in our prayers. But Psalm 71, Psalm 86, and Psalm 142 are all wonderful prayers of King David. And then, of course, if you want to see a prayer of prayers, how about John chapter 17? What Jesus Christ prayed before he willingly gave himself over to be tortured and crucified on our behalf. So those are wonderful places that you can look and see great examples of prayer that God gives us in the Word. And I trust that in doing that, it will enrich your prayer life, because God loves it when we come to Him confidently. He certainly doesn't want us to come and just repeat the same prayer over and over and over again like hypocrites do, like the heathen do. But He wants us to pray to Him just from our heart, pour our heart out unto Him, make our requests known, talk it over with our Heavenly Father, and then He is so good to hear and answer our prayer. So don't get tricked in thinking that He's already done something that He hasn't. If it hasn't happened yet, ask Him for it. But certainly God's great desire, His prerogative, is to answer prayers. And so once you're convinced that it's the will of God, keep on asking, keep on praying until that answer comes, and it will. So Heavenly Father, we are thankful this night for your word, for this time of getting together online and to look at some of it concerning the great topic of prayer. Father, we ask that you will continue to enlighten the eyes of our understanding, that you will continue to give us needed wisdom, that you will protect us from evil and supply our physical as well as all of our mental and spiritual needs. Father, we pray for our country and for the world, and Father, for your will being done on earth as it is in heaven. So, Father, we're thankful to be a part of your kingdom and to have this time of fellowshipping and working your word together. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.